Huntsville, Alabama. I'm going to be at Levity Live February 20th through the 22nd for five shows. DanSoder.com. Then California, Balboa Theater, February 28th. Then March 2nd, I'm going to be at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. March 8th, I'm going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan for Gildas Fest. I'm going to be headlining one show there, so check it out. March 8th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was hoping the drones were something more, and Trump said he was going to say what it was. And they said
we're still the jury's out on that. It's not even the drones that are. It's way more stuff happening here.
You have to understand something about my good friend Sean Donnelly. He's all the way in on UFOs. I'm talking about UFOs. I'm talking about underwater submergibles. We can go
in it.
I see Sean. I know I can burn an hour talking about extraterrestrial life forms.
Yes.
Which
you mean NHI?
NHI, which now they're starting to confirm that there's been
the newest whistleblower seems. They both seem legit to me. There's a guy named David Gresh and a guy named Jake Barber. Jake Barber is the newest one, and he's even more has more credentials than even David Gresh had, and even more because he's an eyeball witness.
Did you say David Koresh?
Well, yes, that's David Koresh.
This ties into Waco.
I'm like, way in. Janet Reno's NHI.
You got to watch Sean Donnelly's episode of Soder. They go down a hole. By the end of it, I go, and it's all connected.
It's all connected.
I go, this is how that happened to Rogan. I was like watching you go, and I go,
he was on the Roswell ship.
I'm on board.
But no, I'm full in. Like, I've gotten pretty so down the rabbit hole. So what did this guy say? Grush came out about 2023. David Grush came out, and he had credentials up the wazoo as well about
clearance,
all the clearances, character witnesses coming out, all the security clearances. And what he said is, I did a 4-year investigation, and I have evidence that based off my over 50 witnesses that I've interviewed, that there's the government superseding the Congress and our laws has been running a craft retrieval program for the past 60 years in tandem with other democratic nations, right?
Since Roswell?
Yes. Oh, yes. So since Roswell, that's when it all started. And they think that it probably started. A lot of this has to do with radiation and nuclear stuff.
Well, we basically, from the
we put a big flag up, yeah, like, hey,
the
yeah.
The analogy
yeah.
I've heard is that you were driving along a highway and an ant shot a gun in the air, and you're like, hey, you guys want to stop and look at that? I think there's an ant with a 45 on the side of the highway.
That's a perfect way to put it, yeah. I think. That's
and
what
you're
I
like, whoa, 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 you heard us with that.
We showed up on their radar. Yeah, and they're like, we have that. You don't have that yet.
How
like,
do you guys get a gun? How did an ant get a gun? And you go, Einstein.
Science.
Einstein and Oppenheimer.
So what ends up happening is he says, I have this investigation. He's grilled by Congress. And this is bipartisan as well. And that's another thing that you kind of have to realize. Nothing's bipartisan. And this is. There is people that disagree on everything else in life that are like, we're on board for this.
Really funny, because the one thing you have to understand about Washington, D.C. is they're all friends.
Yes, they're like buddies. Yes, that's true.
It's but publicly, exactly what George Carlin said.
Yeah.
It's a big club and you ain't in it.
Yes, absolutely.
And people have lost that message where they go, no, no, no. These guys like me. And they go, they don't give a fuck.
They don't give a shit.
And I can understand. That's like with hate for the Democrats. I kind of understand it because they do it in a sleazier way where they go, hey, bro. They get down on one knee. They go, hey, bro. I really want to help you. And you go, I don't think you do. Man, at least these Republicans are like, we're going to tear all the wires out. And you go,
we're terrible, but we're honest about it.
Yeah, you go, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
I admire your gumption.
Yeah. They go, I don't like you. I go, oh, you're a big Guidette, too. Oh, bitch, I'm way on board.
I'll win you over.
Oh, fuck. I slapped them tits. But you were saying...
Anyway, so this Grush was kind of the big whistleblower. They didn't want to put him under oath. They said, we don't want you to be under oath. And he insisted to be under oath. There was other witnesses on the panel as
did
well.
Did he do that as being like, I'm telling you, motherfuckers, I'm telling the truth?
Yes, 100%. But the glaring thing... So I think you're never going to convince 100% of the people 100% of the time. They could have a video tomorrow of one of these things that goes on every news channel.
I mean, dude, and Big like, J will not budge.
Exactly.
I'll be like, Big J.
Also, known from the cellar, same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gnome won't budge.
Won't budge.
He's like, there's no such thing.
He thinks it's just like other countries or whatever it is.
My question is this. So No, and because Jay's point is, if there were aliens, everyone's mind would be melted. Everybody would be in the streets running and screaming.
No.
My question is, you just think humans are it? You just think we're the only thing? We're the only life form in the fucking universe?
A lot of people's point. And then, so it gets even deeper than that. So the crash retrieval stuff gets even crazier because, so Grush is just like, hey, there's a program. And then the skeptics were like, which rightfully so, were like, yeah, but have you seen one of these things? Like firsthand. And he's like, no. And he's like, all right, then we can discount you immediately.
Sure.
Even though he did a 4-year investigation, serious dude, been in the military for 20 years, was in Iraq, all this crazy stuff. They're like, nah, you're a wackadoo. Because everybody's used to, like, you know, hey,
guys with tinfoil hats on and coming out and being like,
yeah, ancient aliens guy.
Yeah.
The guy with the weird hair.
Shout out to ancient aliens. Because when all said and done, and I record this right here, when all said and done, there will be several things that were said on Ancient Aliens that were correct.
That is true.
And people will have to eat their crow on that. won't. I know they won't, because no one eats their crow anymore. But you will.
But it's true.
Ancient Aliens, there probably will be 4 or 5 things where you go, that was in an episode of Ancient Aliens.
But they did.
Saying, it's a pothead that's watched all of them.
I'll be a devil's advocate here. But they have muddied up the waters enough, that'll be proven as well. So it's going to be like a two-handed thing. Yeah. With that. But anyway, so Grush was like, there is a program. I proved it. I talked to so many people about this that would know.
Well, and the government, here's my point of why the government would never let that out. The government doesn't want to let the citizens know that they've been getting swindled too. That there's been a secret thing that they don't even know about.
Exactly.
Because then you go, well, what about checks and balances? So it isn't fucking.
It's circumventing or it's superseding.
Yeah, so, you're like.
So really the biggest believable thing to me is that it's so compartmentalized, the government side of this thing, that only certain people know certain pieces. I think there's probably 12 guys. There's a thing called the Majestic 12 that's like a document that talks about the people who know the whole entire picture of what goes on with these things.
That's got to be wild. Imagine sitting next to that guy on a flight. His last day at work.
He gets drunk.
He goes, can I tell you something? And he goes, this is all a simulation. And you go, fuck. I'm drinking again, Jameson. I come home, Katie's like, what is it? I go, put on your Hofstra sweatshirt. We got to do it before I tell you what's really going on.
The end of the world, dude. Yeah. But so I think it's so compartmentalized. Also, people's big question is, if this was really going on, there's no way, almost like how JFK was, like, there's no way you could keep the secret.
Sure.
You could, if you're putting it under the Nuclear Secrets Act, which is what all schematics for, like, nuclear bombs are put under, and nobody questions those, because it's like, nobody wants anybody to have a nuclear bomb.
That's a great point.
And because these things give off radiation, they were in their rights to be like, it's under this act. So that's why it's exempt from FOIA, that's why it's exempt from any kind of, like, citizen trying to find out the information.
That makes complete sense.
Same here. I think that it makes a lot of sense.
We put it in a place where all our national secrets are, so of course you're not going to learn that, because then you'd be learning about where our nukes are and who has nukes and who's capable of making them.
And this stuff is kind of similar to it.
I always think that's really interesting when they do that kind of stuff. Like the last podcast on the left did a phenomenal series about the JFK assassination. They did like a 5-episode arc, so it's like over 6 hours of them talking about it. And what they do is they go through every single conspiracy theory behind the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And then they do an episode where they each pick which one they think is real. I believe 2 or all of them, either 2/3 of them or all 3 of them, agree that there is one conspiracy theory, that there is no magic bullet, that there was one single gunman. However, when Oswald fired the jumper seat with the Secret Service agent, his rifle went off and blew Kennedy's brains out, and the Secret Service was brand new that year. It was like either brand new or in its infancy, and they didn't want to get it killed off because of all those
budget. I didn't even heard that one. I was obsessed with this.
And then they said that they go like, oh, there must have been a second gunman, and then everybody, like the Secret Service was like, no, it was another gunman. We will not take that one. Look into that one, because that's the one where I go, it's like an episode of Veep.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense.
Yeah.
That you go like, well, it must be a second. That wasn't me. That's what I would do. If I had accidentally killed Kennedy, I would go like, another gunman.
And it would also give you, we'll get back to UFOs, but it would also give you a really big reason of why, for a cover-up, besides it being a second gunman.
Because they want to keep this program that has federal funding and is, you know.
Well, also the just complete lack of duty, like the complete lack of skill and the complete, the fucking up part.
Look into it because it's something like the Cadillac had a jumper seat, which was like sideways, and he was holding a rifle, which the people that have believed that conspiracy theory are like, if you look at the angle, it's where fucking Kennedy's brain got blown out.
Oh, see, I watched that Peter Jennings Case Closed one, which is based off this the famous book, Case Closed, by Mark something. And his thing, which really spoke to me, because I read so many books on this in high school because JFK came out, the movie, and he said all it is that the third seat in that limo is 6 inches higher than everybody says it is. It's not, it wasn't equal with the other seats. So Oswald's bullet, if you do that trajectory, it goes from the shoulder into Connolly's. And it's not the head shot, though. It was the shoulder one. Exactly.
Which Seinfeld did perfect with the spit.
Back into the left.
Yeah, or he goes back. But it's one of those theories where I go like...
A second spitter.
Yeah, I just go, that makes the most sense. Yeah, someone fucked up and they're just covering it up.
If you, at this point, 50 or 60, whatever it is, later, I believe that they could fuck up like that. It happens. Yeah. It happens all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
you ever hear the nuke one about how there was a plane carrying nukes over like North Carolina and there was like four safety switches so they wouldn't go loose or wouldn't be deployed if something went wrong, and something went wrong and three of them, the safety switches busted, and only one safety switch saved a nuke from exploding in like the 60s, I think, like peak Cold War situation.
You go right down to like Raleigh and it's like a guy fighting his wife. He's like, I wish the whole world would blow up right now. And they go, it's just like a bomb. Like,
he's like, kill me, Khrushchev.
I mean, come on. What are the Russians going to blow us up? And it's like,
it's like Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah. This guy writing it. But the second guy with the aliens, he had contact.
So this is Jake Barber. This is the newest whistleblower.
Our new hunk.
Our
new Tiger Beat. Dude, if that was Tiger Beat, all these whistleblowers. Oh, dude, you're not subscribed to Whistleblower Magazine? Just these hunks. Just these guys that go, I know what really happened at Roswell.
Top 10 secret areas of the CIA. Oh,
who's this new whistleblower dating? What's his perfect date?
It's just these bald military dudes with like hearts around them.
With all these different flags on their pins. What are you looking for in an alien girlfriend? I want someone that can fly to her own planet.
And keep her mouth shut.
It's so funny. New whistleblower tells us his perfect date night.
They have a contest. Dude, win a candlelight dinner.
Whoever's good at fucking Photoshop, please make a Whistleblower Magazine. Whistleblower
Tiger Beat is one of the funniest.
This whistleblower enjoys watching UFOs and underwater submersibles.
Find out where Bob Lazar gets his glasses.
Bob Lazar's five hotties from another realm. This one's just missed. This one's a thought process that's just missed. Bob, that's so funny.
That's so funny.
So the new guy is the guy. The new hunk on the block.
The new hunk on the block. The cover boy, really.
Cover boy.
he's got the neon outline with the hearts. Full poster. he's got the
centerfold. Is this him testifying with his nameplate? I hung this up in my room. I love this. Getting Sean to laugh like this is one of my favorite things in the world.
That's so funny. Oh my God, Whistleblower Magazine.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Somebody photoshopped that, right?
You just gotta toss it out. The internet, the fans are so fucking talented. Oh my God. Insane.
That's so hilarious. It's because if you had pictures of all these dudes, like, they're all like chubby middle-aged men.
They all look like the guys that they show the picture at the end of the movie where it's like, I said this on Regs, where it's like the guy that Matt Damon's based off of. They show him, this is him, and he's like, I lived in Gary, Indiana. I had three kids.
Even the Christian Bale guy from The Fighter. And you're like, oh, they helped this guy out.
They made him look hot.
They immortalized this motherfucker. So anyway, this dude, Jake Barber, the centerfold, they're really just selling magazines left and right. They're flying off the shelves. He's the next whistleblower, and he is one of the witnesses that Grush spoke to and then made a promise to Grush, went through all the different processes. Here's the thing. And it can make some people doubt this and the process, and maybe some people trust it, because these guys go, it's DOPSER, it's called. I forget what it stands for. They have to go through all these protocols with the Department of Defense in order to come out and say the information they're saying.
So they have to check.
They have to check with their superiors.
I'm going to say this. I'm going
to
say this.
And then they're getting clearance to do so. So a lot of people even think of that as disinformation, and that's all a big scam, or that this is slow disclosure. And they're like, hey, you've gotten this far. Let's give you this little piece, this little morsel, so that you don't ask the bigger questions, which comes down to like the consciousness aspect. And like, there's a whole big, Barbara actually kind of touches on it. So Barbara's a guy who military, his cover was that he was a mechanic in the military mechanic, but that was just a cover, because what he was doing was this, he was part of this retrieval program.
Sure.
And what he discussed was that he was put out on these jobs, and a lot of it was recovering. They had a thing called the field, which was where they would test out experimental craft. And he's
which
like,
"It's got to be so fucking fun to work in.
It's got
to
be insane."
Where you're like,
Well, he would go retrieving when they crashed.
Oh, that's scarier. I want to be when you're like, hey, I think I can make this thing fly. And you got a joystick. You go, whoa! I want that. I don't want to welcome to Earth, bitch. I don't want to fucking open that thing and it's like.
Also why he's more believable, because he's like 90% of the stuff even you're seeing on these videos and stuff might be us. Like the anti-gravity we have, a lot of things you don't think we have.
Well, isn't that what that whistleblower said that sent the email about the drones, where he was like, this is technology that us and only us and China have, and like China is displaying that they can fly it anywhere.
But I don't think, because if a balloon got shot out of the sky, I don't see why these things wouldn't have just gotten, if we had it. I think what it was, the rumor about the drones that I heard was that they were searching
for a nuke.
And we've had this, and that there's an old 4chan post where they discussed exactly what the nukes are. They're like, what you're seeing UFOs, it's us. We have these beyond advanced drones that have a base in the ocean. And a lot of these things were above water also, but they had FAA regulated lights. Like they were completely on the level.
Every time I saw the drones, I was like, well, it looks like they're trying to signify to other aircraft that they're in the air.
They're really safe aliens.
Yeah, you go. They go, guys, I don't feel comfortable going to Earth unless we have at least 4 blinking lights. Is that not? Did you check the backlight? He goes, it's out. Why are we freaking out? We're more evolved than they are. It's called decency.
But that's
I hate the way when people are mean to waiters. It's like that's his version. Are you mean to door guys? You're kind of a dick. Put the red light on the back.
They have their own podcast now.
Dude, I would love alien podcasts.
That'd be fun.
It's like
as
Rick
hell.
And Morty when they did the cable, the alien cable.
They flipped the channels?
Yeah,
it was like fantastic. It's so good.
Yeah, there would be alien podcasts.
There's got to be. It's just telepathic.
My favorite was Colin's joke where he was like, what if they are using us for entertainment and they're kind of lame? And they come down here and they're like, awesome sauce. He goes, yeah, we don't say that. One of my favorite Colin jokes of all time. He goes, oh, that's real awesome sauce. He goes, I'm not saying that. We're not saying that anymore.
Well, that's...
All right, Mando body deodorant. Oh, if you're a stinky piece of shit, get some Mando whole body deodorant, man. You can get your pits, your balls, your thighs, your folds, your belly button, your butt crack, your feet. Dude, get absolutely nuts. I'm talking about Mando full body deodorant. Plus, they got a variety of fresh scents like bourbon leather, Cloverwoods, Mount Fuji, Pro Sport, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average men's grundle odor level was a 5 out of 10. But with Mando, the average grundle odor level is a 0 out of 10. That is an untraceable grundle. Want to try America's number one whole body deodorant formula right now? Well, you can find them in Walmart, Target, and other retailers across the country. But for the best deals, go to shopmando.com. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and 2 free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And as a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code that equates to over 40% off your starter pack if you use the code SODER at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Smell fresher, stay drier, and boost your confidence from head to toe with Mando.
That's one of the theories, is like that it's, you know, genetic manipulation, and that where it's like an ant, the ant farm theory, is that that's why you see these things. So
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they were like, hey, we took some alien DNA and mixed it with a monkey because we were bored.
Bored as fuck.
Or it was like an outpost where they're like, I don't know, go to Earth.
Yeah, mess
and
with them.
Like, mess with them for a little bit. And they're like, guys, you might want to see this.
Look what we did.
They learned how to make a gun. And you go, yeah, fuck.
I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Oh, my God, I'm in so much trouble. I didn't know monkeys were that vicious.
We're gonna get some alien so much trouble with his parents.
Yeah.
He's like, I was just fucking around.
And I created nuclear war.
Because the story that I'm fascinated by was Jimmy Carter witnessed a UFO.
When he was younger, yeah.
And when he was younger.
Mass sighting.
And then in 1976, when he won, I'm going to learn everything there is. And there's the story that he was debriefed and he was so sad because the rumor is they revealed to him that all religion was made by the aliens in order to control us as some sort of ethical code. But that immediately, my brain goes, wrong, because all wars have been created by some sort of religion. Like, religious beliefs have been the cause of so much bloodshed and violence.
It's a really good point.
That there, to me, does not seem... That's the part of the alien getting in trouble, where he's like,
I created Judaism and Islam. I really fucked up. I thought Christianity would be the answer, and I fucked up again.
I just want to give him random holidays.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to give him a day off. Everyone deserves a day off.
But now the
you can't beat a 3-day weekend.
Why was that? Why is that bus going? Oh God, it blew up. Oh God. Oh God.
What have I done? I'm gonna get so grounded.
They said third. He was like, what is it? You're lucky three, like the last one. He goes, oh, I thought the third religion I invented was gonna be the lucky one. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, those buildings.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I made him.
That's like, you know, the rumor that Jesus was an alien. That's why he did all the miracles. That, like, he's like a hybrid. And he
I
came
never
down.
Heard that. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, that's some ancient alien
shit. I love that you called it a rumor. You were like, I heard from Moses.
Page Six style. A certain History Channel show.
There was an article in Whistleblower Magazine.
A certain History Channel show is saying that Jesus Christ was a hybrid. But it would be funny if he was and he was like, guys, check this out. This freaks him out. I'm walking on water. And everyone's like, ah! And he's like, I'm just kidding.
And then gave him a telephone later. He's like, he's gone. Ah! you ever hear the theory about I'm going to go back to Barbara, but you ever hear the thing about Jesus where when they don't know what he did from like 13 to 30 to 30, and they think that he was in India, like learning about Buddhism, and that's why Catholicism kind of resembles parts of Buddhism.
No way.
Yeah, it's like old theory.
That sounds like an Indian guy made that up. That sounds like someone from India completely created that. You go, I was hanging out with Jesus. You go, were you though? Guy was a wider child.
About 16, 17 years old.
14 to 33. Guy was fucking nuts. And you go, I don't believe in this. But I mean, Jesus, traveling Jesus. How is that not a television show or a cartoon?
They must have done
like
something.
Like Kung Fu, but Jesus?
But they probably did it, but it's like the worst production. It's like one of those like Christian shows.
Where they have the taped beard on? Going my way? And they go, I think so.
It's like they filmed it obviously in somebody's backyard with like a car going by.
Here in Nazareth, we like things a little bit different.
Why are these apostles wearing clothes from Kmart? Yeah. What's going on here?
I think that's Old Navy. So this whistleblower actually said that there are.
Even more legit. So not only that there are, what he's saying is this. This guy, his cover was that he was a mechanic, but he was in charge of security and retrieval of these objects. So he retrieved other objects that he knew were man-made, were human-made by U.S. government, but they were on the field, like the testing field. And there was a certain level of protocols that would happen. It's like an everyday at work kind of thing, right? But there's other, when the objects warn us, everything changed. The reaction of the bosses changed, the protocol of safety and security changed, and the objects themselves, the minute he looked at them, he was like, I know that's not us, just based off the experience. So one of them
there
was...
a USA flag on this one.
Yeah, exactly. There was a Trump 2020.
Yeah, he goes, well, this one doesn't have a Trump Vance sticker on it. It says I don't break for fatties.
Yeah, this one doesn't have Calvin pissing on an
Iraqi flag. You go, oh, fuck. Where's the Calvin pissing on the Chinese flag?
Where's the Yosemite Sam butt flash?
Where's the truck nuts on this UFO? Just two balls swinging at it.
So anyway, so he was like, I'm part. So I knew that this stuff wasn't from us, and I was involved in retrieving it. And on one occasion, he was retrieving like a 40 or 50 foot long egg shaped thing with no exhaust, no wings, no nothing, just like the Tic Tac was, if people know about the Tic Tac. And he said that he was 150 feet from this thing. He has a video of one of the retrievals, and it's a rope that comes down and very gently takes this thing, attaches it to the helicopter, and then they take it to whatever their secret location they're supposed to take it to.
Yeah, they don't go up and, like, touch it.
No, they don't touch it.
My dumbass would go up and, like, feel it for heat. I go, it's still hot.
Yeah, you're like,
and then the castle's like, damn! I'm like, I don't know. I wanted to know.
What happened, it's funny you say that, because what happened was, he was so close to it, he said he, like, bonded with this thing and had a reaction where he felt overwhelming happiness and sadness at the same time, that it felt like his mother, and that it changed his life forever after the fact. He's like,
dude, coming home from that day of work, she goes, what's wrong,
it's Bob? All bullshit. Goes,
I touched the tic-tac and it's mom and I'm sad.
It's a womb. Yeah. It's a womb.
It's a womb, and I was happy and I was sad. What do you want from me? I don't know. Let's order fucking Chinese. I don't know. I can't think about what I want for dinner.
Don't you understand? Nothing matters.
I had a life-altering experience at work today, and you want to know if I want leftovers. Why do we do this?
What, Survivor? Yeah. I survived today.
But he's also into Guidettes, so she's like,
you're always so fucking particular. Oh, Mr. Meet an Alien. And now you can't decide if you want to go to Vincenzo's today.
Not
I should have fucking married your roommate.
He's like, yeah, well, he wouldn't have given you all those cool alien jewelry that I gave you. So he was 150 feet and said
from
that,
the object.
And he caught feelings?
He caught feelings from the object.
He caught feelings.
And then had, like, just like...
He's like, damn, girl, why am I 150 feet away from you feeling like you're my mommy?
Becomes a Color Me Bad video.
And he's like, damn, girl, I'm sitting here 150 feet away from you, wondering why you making me happy and sad.
That's part of the Tiger beat. This comes with it comes with a cassette tape of whistleblower R&B songs.
Girl, you crashed in the test site. You making me happy and sad. Bow, 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 bow. Bow, bow, down, down, down. That's so funny. Girl. So.
Ain't nothing wrong.
I don't see nothing wrong with a little test fly.
He's like, yeah, girl. I'm just trying to wonder what dimension you're from. Because you're breaking my heart. But also. Healing it. So he was 150 feet away
from the object. He had a reaction to it where he was like, he said possessed, but he was trying to say like filled up by the object. He's like, I was definitely connecting with it. He said, it changed my whole view of life. And then immediately afterwards started having health effects from it. He said that he had like really bad sunburn where his skin was lopping off. He lost acute alopecia where all of the hairs in his body went off, which would be like, consistent with like radiation,
sure,
reaction from radiation poisoning, whatever it is, but they never actually diagnosed it as that, I guess, for whatever reason. But he went to the doctor for it. They didn't know what you would call it, but they like treated him for it.
For radiation poisoning.
Basically. And he was fucked up from this. And it also, one of the big takeaways from the original congressional hearing is that the story about the guy from Rendlesham Forest in the 1980, there was a thing, Rendlesham Forest in the UK. It was a joint UK-US military base. And this guy touched an object, had poisoning. And the government, John McCain, of all people, like we're talking about,
the got maverick.
Him. John McCain, got this guy had all sorts of health problems for years because of what touching the object and the radiation that came off of it. And the US government gave him health money for health insurance, you know, for health treatment, but wouldn't admit for the reason why. Like, they were like, hey, these things don't exist, but we are going to approve the UFO-related radiation poison that you got. Like, it's in the thing and everything, but they're like, but then the other stance is, hey, they don't exist. Crazy. For years, from like 1980, you know?
That's so crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Like, you kick the shit out of someone, then you give them money, and you go, I didn't beat you up.
It's exactly it.
You know, okay, you broke my jaw, he goes, right? I didn't break your jaw. He goes, you didn't break my jaw.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's fucked up. There's not... I don't think humanity is smart enough for them to unveil what it is. Because it would just completely debase everything that we have built in society. It would. Everyone would go, why am I going to work tomorrow? Why am I even fucking trying?
That's what I think they're scared of happening. I think if they...
They're smart. They know that that's what would happen. And they go, what am I going to pay taxes?
But everybody's so apathetic now, it probably happened on a grand scale. But the Jimmy Carter, I think that happened was he was pretty religious, I think.
He was very religious.
Right. So I think what it was what they told you is like, hey, yours is bullshit. But kind of what it ends up being, because you really want to believe some of the theories, is that it's not extraterrestrial, that it's here. It's always here. It's omnipresent. And it's consciousness-based. So a lot of people who see these things see them multiple times in their lives. Some people don't. So it's like the whole idea that consciousness is it goes beyond just to the person.
Which makes the most sense.
It'd make the most sense in the world.
Why the fuck do we have dreams?
Exactly right. So why do sometimes dreams affect what happens? Yeah, people have lucid dreams. Why is that? You know?
Yeah, there's a bunch of... To try to understand, we're too stupid to understand.
Absolutely, what the fuck I'm first in line on
and
that.
And that's the best place to be. If you take anything from this episode, is submit to your stupidity. Submit to it. Just go like, I'm too stupid to know what it is. I feel like this world would be way better if everyone submitted to their stupidity and just admitted to their limitations and
they
go like.
Used to more than they do now.
Well, now the internet makes you feel emboldened.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like I can say the thing that it's like, I'm dumb, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why whenever I watch a comic try to say something smart, you go, you sound even dumber.
Yeah.
Because I thought we were all dumb on
ourselves. I thought we had like an agreement almost.
I get excited, but I'm never smart.
No.
I've never been smart.
Same here.
I get very excited about stuff.
And it's
very
funny,
stupid.
You're right about the comic thing too. It's like, you don't think there's people who have studied their lives on this topic or are completely versed in the thing that you're just guessing?
Dude, I understand you're giving me a hot take while you're in your fucking Target parking lot. In your car. I understand it's emotional. You make some good points. It's ain't nothing that somebody hasn't thought of already.
But the thing that rings true to me is this idea that what if it is that consciousness is it's almost like magnetic waves. You have consciousness is all over, and that it's because the other thing is the telepathy tapes is the thing that came out. There's a podcast that came out where they talk about like non-speaking autistic children being able to tell.
Dude, Katie and I were just into this.
It's last crazy. Week.
They're starting to say that it's like, it's
legit,
the parents
right?
of it. The parents of these kids are like, they're like, it just is. There's not like, it's this thing. They're like, no, it just is. Like my kid can communicate with me via telepathy.
Okay. So that,
and they believe animals have a form of it.
Yeah, I think
like
that
dogs will start getting ready for you to come home when you're ready to come home because there's a bond.
I think that is this. I think that is directly related to the UAP thing, the Jake Barber thing, all that. I think it's all one thing that's like, and that's why, like, when you have Tom DeLonge of Blink 182 fame.
Where are you? You're up flying. I am so scared. You are telepathy.
Well, you know his whole thing where he started to the Stars Academy and he was a big UFO guy.
Yeah.
I think it's shut down.
I mean, dog.
Angel and Airwaves.
I went through him with Angel and Airwaves. I'm back with Blink 182.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But when he was read into, he said, he's quoted as saying it's gods with a small g. And on telepathy.
That's a great saying.
Yeah. And he said, if one of the episodes, telepathy tapes, telepathy tapes, whatever how you say. One of the students, one of the autistic children was like, oh, the gods told me this. This is like, and it just comes from this, whatever this consciousness is.
Yeah.
That to me is the most exciting thing. So I think what these
gods,
things are.
Help me write some new bits because I'm going on the road. And I got a telepathy a bunch of fucking shows. You go to my show, I'm just going.
Just sitting there.
And I was like, ah! And I'm like. First. Right? I go like that. That's how I do the joke.
Right.
I go.
You're just doing act outs?
I go. And they go, oh, you got her. Bitches be shopping. That's all I'm saying. You can't stop. You can't stop a bitch from shopping. Chubbies. You gotta love Chubbies, dude. First time I tried Chubbies was some bathing suits that the old machine, Bert Kreischer, sent me. He gave us some free Chubbies when we were on the... Well, that sounds like a Diddy party. He he gave us, we were on the Fully Loaded tour in 2023, and he was like, dude, here's some free bathing suits from Chubbies. And I was like, I like the color scheme. Put them on, showed a little too much leg for me at first, then got very comfortable with them. Now I got a pair of 49ers Chubbies. Dude, I love it. Unmatched comfort and style with Chubbies. And by the way, now they got the iconic original stretch shorts. Depending on how much thigh you're looking for, Chubbies makes them with 4-inch, 5.5-inch, 7-inch inseams. These shorts have the stretchiest fabric for ultimate movability and flexibility while maintaining a perfect tailored fit. Featuring an elastic waistband with buttonfly, enjoy the classic men's khaki style with the added comfort of elastic. Pair the original stretch shorts with Chubbies' lineup of Friday shirts, and now, whew, you're just looking dapper. Casual button-downs, the retro-inspired prints. These shirts are built to kick back, turn up, chill out, party down, and just get nuts. Got your new shorts lined up for spring? If not, check out Everywhere Performance Shorts. Chubbies Everywhere Shorts feature quick-dry, four-way stretch fabric, an elastic waistband, and a secret hidden pocket for your weed. And if you thought the deal couldn't get any sweeter, prepare to be proven wrong the best way possible. For a very limited time, very, very limited time, only during the Chubby Spring Break sale, all shorts and swimwear are 35% off, with select styles up to 65% off. Now that's how you do spring break. So head over to chubbyshorts.com and take advantage while you can. Make sure you support our show and tell them that we sent you when the survey asks. Don't blend in with the crowd. Stand out with Chubbies. That's always funny when you find out someone worked in comedy in a shitty way, then you're like, I don't think I like you now.
Yeah.
That would affect the way I watched The Sopranos if I knew he was a... We're talking about Bobby Baklava.
A Vegas.
Was a booker.
A Vegas booker.
And we're in. Which is funny, because some comics, and Pimp will tell you this, they just come in here and start talking shit. They just sit down and they're just like, you know who I don't fucking like? And I go like, you want to go, hey,
we pressed record.
I really feel like.
I've been in those situations, but I know now that sometimes you just go. So it's like, you know.
Now you got to be like a mafia member. Now you got to be like, you're wearing a fucking wire. But I.
It's good to see you. Yeah, yeah. Hey.
You're good. You're good. Hey, is that that van, that flower van with you outside? It's just two guys sitting inside. It's just that, is that Matt McCarthy guy from Comics Comic listening?
Comedy Mafia.
It's just them and fucking. What was that other? What was the website when we were coming up?
Punch Up. No, it was Comics Comic, and then it was what was the one? There was one from LA, wasn't there? An LA one,
the Bureau, was, Jake from the Bureau.
Yeah.
But then there was also like Gurian. Gurian's always been around. But then there was something like Punch Up, not Punch Up. Punch Up is go to Punch Up Live. It's for all my live dates. But it was called like. I forget. I used to check it every day.
Matt Ruby had one called Sandpaper Suit.
Yeah, remember that? I think he still does his.
Does he still do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he does. Yeah, he gets very, he's good at that stuff. He's good at,
but
like,
there was another one that was like a specific, it was almost like a news report. It was kind of like a dump site for like,
And it was New York based?
Slapstick, gut pump.
Oh, my God. You just had it. It's like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. I used to check that daily.
Yeah, I used to
give comedy news.
It would so with Comics Comic, you would go to see who got Montreal.
Oh,
you would go to that would be always dude, be a-
checking his reviews of Just for Laughs on the comicscomic.com filled me with so much spite. Just in a windowless room in Queens, being like, didn't even have a good 5 minutes. Is that?
Is it a closet?
How long have you been out of the doorman game? You're by the way, your glasses are a little fogged up.
I'll take them off.
I don't know if you.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's your look now.
No, I guess I just run hot.
Yeah. No, when I used to wear glasses before I got LASIK, I would just steam up randomly.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. I just
you're Irish.
It'll happen also like while eating food, and that's a bad look for a fat guy. If not only are you fat eating wings, all of your glasses are fucked up.
So dude, my mom's ex-boyfriend used to love spicy food, and he would would be, he had a cul-de-sac and he'd be like sweating and he'd wipe his head at the restaurant. And I'd be like, ew.
Did you call it a cul-de-sac?
Yeah. He had the fucking cul-de-sac. He had the,
I just got a parking lot.
You got a whole thing. You're next to a stadium. You go, there's nothing but parking
there. Old Shea.
you know, Shea used to be there. And they knocked it down and now.
It built City Field next to it.
Next to it. And then now you could park on Sean's head. But yeah, he used to wipe his head and I'd be like, oh, gross.
It's gross. I do the same thing. It'll but be
how
wings
long have
or
you,
be,
how long have you been retired from the doorman game?
Long time. I worked at two and a half years, three years almost.
Did you work at a luxury building?
Yeah, it was pretty luxury. It was a middle class building that was rentals that turned over to condos. Like it was built in the 80s. It's like the biggest building on 89th Street. It's like 45 East 89th Street. And it's
where
like
is that? 89th and what?
Madison. And it's gigantic. It's like 40 stories. And it was like one of the most fun jobs. You felt like you were like, it was like summer and you were in high school. Like there was the least amount of responsibility
had. How much gossip?
You knew everything about everybody in the building.
How many
units? Even when they
units?
Didn't know, you knew about it.
Do you know how many units?
I don't know total, but I would say there was probably, they're pretty large apartments. So I'd say about 6 or 7 per floor. Yeah. There's a sizable building. So it's like, dude, it's the biggest building in the neighborhood that they didn't let any others get that big. So we would just, it would just create a wind tunnel in the front of the building. So we'd be there on like a windy night or like a semi-windy night and old people would just go out and just eat it. Like
just gone.
Just up 4 feet in the air. Just,
watch out, Mr. Finkelstein, the wind. In his bed today, he's like, your doorman always is scaring me. This is gone.
He's gone. Mary Poppins.
Yeah, dude. That's so funny. He just gets lifted up. He's like, yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. It was like, it would happen all the time. And we'd be like, we'd help, but we'd be like, how do you not know this already?
Did you, this is my first doorman building. So yeah. To get into the mind of the doorman, did you hate anybody that lived there?
Yes.
Who is the worst?
There was so here's the thing. Most I would say 90% of the people were cool, right? And 90% of the people just moved there because they liked the building. 10% of the people lived there because they wanted to boss around doorman. And there was one guy. I've been doing a joke about this for years because I don't write enough. And I got fired from the job. I got fired from being a doorman, and technically it's for leaving the door open. That's part of the joke.
That really did happen. What joke you're talking about? Yeah, that was real.
That's real. The real.
You left the door open.
So what we used to do is we'd prop the door open when it was nice out, and it'd be like nice and breezy. Oh, yeah. Because it was like two regular doors and then a revolving door in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And it was so stupid. So you didn't have to, they walked over to the regular door, you had to open that, but we try to encourage people to go to the revolving door, and then you would just go like this, like flip it with your hand, but you weren't doing anything. You were just like standing next to a revolving door, right? So when it was summertime and it was nice or like full.
You start speeding it up.
Yeah, it was like the Price is Right
you
wheel.
Go, yeah, I might trap you in there. They're like, I just want to go upstairs. Just please let me go upstairs. And Sean goes, nah, you're trapped. Like a rat. There's an old lady fucking slamming on the glass.
I'm like, you're in my world now.
You gave me the power. Never give people the power. You are all, you and all your rich friends are right. You never give people the power. And they're like,
That's our Les Miserables.
That's your revolution.
Getting people caught in the fucking door.
You had four of them. Only four of them stuck.
It's worked. But so what really happened was the guy. So these, I just came back from my dinner break. The doors were propped open. Some dude comes down. There's a party in the building going on. It was like a calm night. Some dude and two other guys have come down. They're laughing. I thought they were drunk. The guy comes over. He goes, out of curiosity, why is the AC on and the doors are open? And I go, I don't know. I just got back from dinner. It's the breeze. And I just made up whatever. And he goes, and he freaks out. And it turned out it was the guy who like ran the company that owned the building. So he called my boss's boss and got me fired from the doorman job. So that's why I do the joke, because I technically did get fired for having a door stay open. But
those are the kind of people, when someone walks up to you with fake joyous energy,
yeah,
and then they do some evil shit,
yeah,
I truly hope those people die of heart attacks soon after they do that.
Yeah,
because it's evil. Is there was this guy when I waited tables at Dos Caminos.
Yeah.
Holiday season, very busy. I think I've told this story before on the bonfire, but it's exactly this. The guy was with his mom and his kids. This guy's whole family's there. Lunch. It's fucking lunch.
Yeah.
Guy comes over. He goes, hey, I dropped the bill. Everything's fine. I dropped the bill. And he goes, hey, can you come here? He's like, it says, can you bring me a kid's menu? And I was like, what's up? And he's like, no, no, just bring me a kid's menu.
Oh, Jesus.
And I go, Christ. Is there a problem with the bill or something? He's like, I just want to see a kid's menu. And I said, bring him a kid's menu. And then he's like, I come over. He's like, it says here on the kid's menu that kids get free soft drinks. But here, you charged me for their Sprite and their Coke. And I went, oh, that's my bad, man. I'll take that off the bill. And he goes, no, I just want to know why you don't know the menu. Oh, and I was God. Like,
oh, my God. That's pure evil.
I go, it's just a common mistake. You know, I just messed up. He goes, no, but it says here on the menu. So I just want to know, like, why you don't know that. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I just like, it's also, just.
I am supremely hungover right now.
Crazy. By the way, I'm not joking when I tell you this. I think it was a Friday after Cabin. So I was. Cabin Bar, for those of you that don't know, English is a second language. Or comedy is
comedy second language. Language. Yeah. That comedy, was the official name of the show.
Comedy is a Second Language was the show Thursday nights at, I can't even think
it was
of the
bar. Cabin Bar.
Cabin Bar.
Yeah.
On 5th and 2nd.
Yep.
And Sean Patton, it was like one of the best shows in the city.
Yep.
And then every Thursday you would watch Sean Patton close with like a new 15.
Yep.
That was just like better than anything anybody else was doing.
And it would just be off the top of his
dome. It was like half off the top. That's when I saw him tell the story about walking the dog for the first time.
Yeah.
The first time he talked about his brother listening to Korn while doing surgery because his brother was like a heart surgeon. Like bits that I was like, these are like some of the best bits. But it was $3 PBRs, $5 Jamesons.
I'm going to $2 PBRs.
It was
$2 PBRs. Man, we're talking 2008,
2006 to like 2016.
Yeah.
This show ran.
Yep.
Maybe a little longer. I might have the dates wrong.
And it was like Shangri-La for comedy. It was like every scene. It was when it was more separated. So every scene would meet up.
Very separated.
Yeah.
What's crazy is right now in comedy, and I know we're talking about comedy. He doesn't have the fucking dog collar. usually
the people just, they make comments
I'm
about
that. I'm going to get Zach to like comedy talk again. Fuck you, this is fun. I want to talk about this specific time period. This specific time period was great because it was, you know, people now go like, it's pretty obvious who's grifting to the right. But sure. Back then you didn't know who was grifting to the left. And a lot of people were grifting to the left.
Yeah.
Primarily in the alt scene.
Yes.
They were going like, oh, we don't want like white dudes.
Yes,
they just
it was like that was starting. It was kind of like there.
The seeds of it, where they were like, "You're kind of clean cut and a white guy. I don't think we can have you on your show. Can you get a lazy eye and Coke bottle glasses, and maybe we'll bring you back?" And then now they're going like, "Where did all this fascism come from?" And you're like, "I don't know. Maybe you should have booked some white dudes on your library show in fucking Williamsburg in 2014.
You're showing videology.
Yeah, some of us are still holding on. Yeah. Instead of you doing a fucking slideshow, you should have had us do 6 minutes about dating on Facebook.
But do you remember there was also a thing where, and it was political without being political. You're right about the left, but their bits weren't like, they weren't like obviously political.
Well, no, now the right wingers are so retarded. They just go up there and they go like, deport all the Mexicans, and everyone goes, he said it. They were a little slick about it. They were slick about it, where they'd be like, I'm sorry, are you cisgendered?
And yes.
You're like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Is that bad? Is this bad? You're mad at me? Anyways, the point is, Cabin, specifically Comedy as a Second Language, brought everyone together. You had comic strip comics, seller comics, alt comics, people that were like from out of town, yep. LA people.
Black show comics, everything.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody was at Cabin Bar on Thursday night. That show could sit maybe 25 people in the room, 30 people.
Yeah, it was like perfect room for comedy. It was like so intimate.
You would get fucking Aziz. You would get Louie. You'd get Chris Rock. You'd get like Hannibal was just starting to really pop off.
Yep.
People would come by and do this show. The bartender was a cunt.
I got kicked out of there for 2 months.
Michael Che got banned from the show because he got into a fight with the bartender. Michael Che literally was not allowed back at Cabin because we were drinking and they got into it. It was great.
Oh, I got into a fist fight there and got banned for 2 months.
It was crazy. Like, this place was the Old West.
It was like truly a dive, and it was truly when people hung out.
And the regulars loved the drink special, hated us. Because it's a dive bar.
And it would be packed to the gills on Thursday. I mean,
you fucking could not make it through.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about from the front door of the bar, it's an Asian restaurant now, all the way to the back. You had to be like, excuse me, but you're also stopping. Dude, I got so drunk there one night, I told Nick Vatterott I loved his Comedy Central Presents and it hadn't came out yet. That was the last time I really tried Hollywooding. I think that was my honest last attempt. If everyone goes like, why isn't Soder's career farther along? That was when I realized I could not Hollywood.
That was 15 years ago.
That was 15 years ago. I went, I love this. I was hammered. I go, I love this special. He's like, it's not out yet. And I go, oh, yeah, which is going to be great.
She'd be like, I got a sneak peek. They gave me a sneak peek.
I edited it. So you did the joke about Indiana Jones. I edited it. But you would just get blackout drunk.
I would get beyond fucked up. Rebecca at that Trent, place.
The saintly owner of Creek in the Cave, of both Creek in the Cave Queens and in Austin.
Yes.
She started taking over booking after a while.
Yes.
And then Rebecca, I remember this moment specifically. She was like, hey, anniversary show, I have you going on at like 1:50 in the morning. Because it was started at 8 and it went till 4 in the morning. Because everyone in the scene was going up on the anniversary show. It was like the 10th or 11th anniversary. And I go, and it was true. I was like, can I go early? I have to set up cafe at 10 in the morning. And she was like, all right, I'll put you on at like 10:45. And I was like, sick. I did my spot. And then I drank there till 4 in the morning. And she was like, what are you still doing here? And I was like, I'll tell you what, someone's going to be a bad waiter tomorrow. And I woke up the next day. But I would go into work hungover, like crazy hungover.
You know what it was? The dog got me so hardcore when I first walked in. It was magical. And all my responsibilities went out my head.
How great of a dog is she? A
fantastic dog.
She's a great dog. I love her very much.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I know. You really want a dog.
I'm a big dog guy.
Yeah, she's great. I was mad at her last night, and I'll tell you why. I went to Big J's Super Bowl party.
Okay. He must have been losing his mind.
Oh, it was great. Him, Vecchione. I'm happy for all my friends from Philly. It was a good win, and fuck the Chiefs forever.
Yes.
But he had a giant bowl of candy. You know, he had a great spread, but it was like in the middle. It was like little chocolate footballs and Snickers and shit.
Yeah.
So they had sandwiches. They had actual, Jay drove down to Philly and got a bunch of hoagies, cheesesteaks, and broccoli rob, like all these awesome.
Oh my God.
Like, dude, crazy.
That's nuts.
And then he went down to Philly and drove back up. So he had like actual Philly cheesesteaks for the Super Bowl.
Where'd he get them from? Do you not remember?
A place that he knows.
Okay, okay,
that's
okay.
It's not Gino's.
Right,
it's like,
right.
It's not that. It's like,
not even Jim's. It's like something else.
Yeah, you ask. Jim's on South Street.
It's good.
Fucking rules.
It's great. Yeah.
If like out of all those, Jim's is my favorite. Yeah. Which I know people are like, you're not even getting a cheesesteak, you're getting a hoagie. I got it.
Yeah.
Whatever it's like, Jay
it's still
had.
Good.
Whatever Jay had was fucking phenomenal. So he gave us 3 sandwiches to go. Everyone, he's like, God, we got too many sandwiches. Take some to go. So I had a bag and then I was fucking ripped. So I was so stoned. I was just taking handfuls of those of those chocolates, like chocolate footballs or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I forgot I had them. And last night,
oh no,
I'm playing video games and I'm high and I'm like, I gotta eat chocolate. So I just was sitting here peeling little chocolate footballs and I had a pile. They're all gone. I ate them all. Pile of chocolate wrappers on one of these tables. On this couch.
Yeah.
Literally on this couch. And I was like getting sleepy and I was like, you know what? I don't want to go to bed yet. So I just tossed on YouTube and I fell asleep. And then Katie was going to bed and she's like, are you sleeping on the couch? And I woke up and Myrtle was sitting there and there was like Snicker wrappers everywhere. And Katie was like, no. And I go, no, I ate them. But then I was mad at Myrtle because she didn't want to leave her kennel. And then I fall asleep and she's out here like yoinking him off the fucking thing. So we were in a thing up until this afternoon.
She's Marge Simpsoning
I was so mad about it. I was like, you fucking wouldn't hang out with me. And now you eat my chocolate wrappers.
Was that Dan Logic or high Dan Logic? Was that what? Like you were still high and you were like, why don't you want to hang out with me?
You betrayed, yeah. But then I carried it into this morning when I woke up. I was like, I remember that. I'm still upset about it.
I remember your betrayal.
Yeah. So her and I have been hot and cold all day.
Oh, boy.
She's a great dog.
Dogs are the best thing in the world.
But Cabin Bar was just like an unbelievable slice of New York City comedy when it happened.
And real quick, I think that it, I don't think it, two things. One is I don't think it happens anymore. I don't think it's just because I'm older. I think it just doesn't really happen as much. Maybe it's certain clubs and
probably
certain.
Probably Austin might be the only scene that
they
has.
They have a hang?
Well, they're all like, it's small enough that they can hang. Oh, LA yeah. is all spread out and here it's all fractured now. It's like either New York Comedy Club or the Cellar or yeah. the Stand. You're like going to different places.
It's kind of a bummer.
But that holiday party that I was waiting on, I absolutely was cabin hungover. So when that guy was like, let me see your menus. And so what I did was I went back and I had my manager take off all the desserts, all the soft drinks. I overdid it.
Good
and,
for you.
And then I went and I was like, I felt so bad about that. I took it out of my own money and I took it.
Good for you. No,
I really laid it on and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I messed up that bad. I'm really, really sorry. I'm so sorry. To that, like, he got that I was being facetious.
Being a dick?
Like, he got, like, I was like, no, you don't understand. I am so sorry.
That's the best thing to do in that situation.
I
don't
know how I could have made that mistake. And he was like,
was everybody getting it or just he was getting it? It was like
his wife looked at me at one point like,
come on, dude.
Yeah.
But, well, fuck your husband. He's an asshole. Then,
that wasn't the end.
Oh, shit, okay.
So we were like there, the restaurant's gone now, but there used to be, when you'd walk in, there was a bar and you had to walk past the bar to get to like the upstairs seating, not the downstairs seating. And so I would always chill at the bar talking to my friend, either Dan or Carlos Los, whoever was bartending.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you wait tables. You fucking watch ESPN and talk shit.
Yeah.
So we're just like chilling there. He's paid his bill. I'm just hanging out. This motherfucker walks up to me as his family's leaving and he goes, hey, I was down in Philadelphia at a diner and I ordered a cup of soup and my friend ordered a bowl of soup. And I said, real quick, can you bring me an empty bowl? Bring a bowl like his, but bring it empty. And I took my cup of soup and I poured it into the bowl, same size. And he was telling me this, like, he thought I was going to be like,
wow, mind blowing.
You're the man. I suck your dick. You're the fucking man.
You're beating the system.
I go, oh, so you're just like a dick.
Is that what you said to him?
Yeah. Like, I said it quietly, but to the point that my manager, Christy, was like, need to go downstairs. Like, go downstairs. Because she thought, I'd say shit sometimes that my managers bailed my ass out. Because they would be like, because no one wanted to work lunches, and all I did was work lunches.
The person, you're not wrong about the evil thing that you said. The person that exerts the littlest amount of power in the world, treats waitstaff like shit, it's beyond evil. It's what, I don't know what's going on in your life, but you almost don't care. You know, you're like, something's going on with that guy, with other stuff. Hey, somebody blows up on the subway.
I hate
somebody,
when, like, you know. There's a thing of like, I understand wanting to expose corruption when it's like senators or congressmen or CEOs or fucking lawyers or cops or people with actual power. But when you're exposing, like my example is
what free I'm talking soft about, drinks.
It's like when you're mean to flight attendants, you're like, they carry no power. So why are you? And I remember I was flying from Denver to New York, Frontier Airlines.
Oof.
Which I used to love.
Yeah. I did Sun Country once and it was terrible.
Yeah. But the lady, this like Long Island, like crazy Long Island lady, she was like, oh my God, I've got my daughter's purse. I got to get my daughter her purse. And the lady goes, Miss, you are not allowed to leave the airplane. You've boarded the airplane. As we're boarding, I can't. And she goes, okay, well, give her the purse for me. And she goes, I can't do that. Oh, she had her daughter's boarding pass.
Oh.
And she goes, I have my daughter's boarding pass. And she goes, okay, well, your daughter just needs to, she's like on the phone with her. And she's like, your daughter just needs to go to the gate. And if she has an ID, they can just print one out.
Absolutely. Easy fix.
Easy fix. This woman.
But this dult didn't get it.
Fucking would not stop. And she was sitting next to me. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like doing, I'm in the aisle and I'm like doing, you know, when you're like trying
trying to grow away from it.
No, look, I'm growing towards the sun. And she's like being a and she was like, no, what's your name? You can't do this. And she goes, it's federal law. Oh, she goes, go give her it then. If I can't leave, you go give her it. She goes, I am, due to federal law, I cannot leave the airplane. I'm a flight attendant.
Yeah.
I cannot leave the airplane. And this was like a standoff. Like, people are waiting to board. And she's like, no, I need to give my daughter her boarding pass. And she's like, they can print it out at the gate. I promise you they can print it out. To the point that other, I'm going like, hey, they can print it out. She can print it out.
Like, you're getting involved.
Yeah, I'm going like,
you're like, enough. I can't take the tension.
And she's like, you see how she's treating me? I go, she's treating you. It's just like, you got to understand there's rules. I'm doing that thing where I'm trying to be.
So squash it.
And dog, if you know me, you know I just want everyone to be happy. I'm not.
I'm a fellow people pleaser.
I'm a people pleaser, dog. I want everyone to be cool. I want to eat my little bag of nuts and watch my TV, and I just want to go home. So I'm like, yeah. And I'm doing the thing where I go, I know it's a stupid rule, but like, she can print it out. This lady's like, the whole flight motherfucking this lady. The whole flight.
What's your name?
The whole, beyond it.
Beyond, wow. The whole flight.
Oh my God.
What's your name? I fly Frontier a lot, and I'm gonna tell them that you were very rude to me, that you wouldn't let my family on the plane. She's like making shit up.
Yeah.
And to the point that I'm like,
Can I move my seat?
I'm in front of her as I'm leaving, and I go, that was fucking bullshit. To the flight attendant. And she goes, thank you. Like, people are apologizing for this lady.
And are you half saying it loud to be, so hopefully that she hears you behind?
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it. And then I go down to the baggage carousel and I'm waiting. And fucking Long Island and her family show up and the husband's picking her up with her kids.
Yeah.
And she goes, you have no idea. They wouldn't let her on the plane. They said it was illegal if I tried to give her boarding pass. She's like making stuff up. And I'm like waiting for my bag. And I'm hearing her just completely lie. Completely lie. And I just get my bag. And it used to be back in the day when you had to show people your ticket to get out of it. So I have my ticket and I'm leaving. And as I walk by, I stop. I go, hey, just to let you know, I sat next to your wife on that plane. None of that happened like that. None of that happened like that. I go, she's a monster. And as I'm doing, it's like the closest I've ever came to smoking a cigarette and flicking it behind me, because the guy goes, excuse me? Excuse me? And she goes, that way, excuse me? And it's just a bunch of excuse me's. And I had my ticket ready. I got out of there and I got through the gate, went right to the cab stand. It was like, I'm not even looking back. I'm not engaging.
Fantastic.
But I had to say something.
Fantastic.
I was
like,
she was a monster. And in his face, I think he knew. Because he looked at me. He didn't react like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about my wife? He was like, I watched him long enough that he went like, yeah, that is something this bitch would do. Like, you saw in his head. He's like, yeah, she's a yappy bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they started firing.
But he's Long Island, so he has to go. In his head, he's going, it's like, you can see the wheels turning.
Yes,
he goes, 100%. You're right, but fuck, she's right. Excuse me?
Yeah. Well, then she was the one that started it, and then he followed. But what are you going to fight me in front of your kids?
Long Island? Yeah.
But then,
Long Island is
honestly, I had a winter coat on with my height. You don't know I'm a Gangosaurus Rex.
Yeah, but you can.
But with the coat on,
I might be able to do some damage.
Might be a big boy. Also, the booming voice,
dude,
has people a little more afraid.
Yes, and you know, I'm from Long Island. If people don't know, and it's everything. Like, I have a complicated relationship with it because it's everything that Seinfeld says from comedians.
That's the scene where he goes, you're looking at an audience of everything you were afraid to become.
Everything you're afraid to become, and you are part of it at the same time. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's how I feel with parts of Aurora. When I go back to Aurora, Colorado, and you see a guy being like,
yeah, what's up?
He's in like Jankos, and he's like, what's up, dog? This is my fucking kid.
He's like, I'm going to work at the cookie store, dude. I'm fucking doing Whippets. And I'm just like, fuck this shit, bro. Trump's the fucking man. I got my Trump coin.
And you're like, you are so poor, you're trading crypto. And they're like, just ripping vapes.
Like, I got my Trump beef. I have my Trump hamburger meat.
I got fucking fired from Little Caesars because they're fucking woke.
And you're like, you're not even using that correctly. They're like,
yeah, fucking woke mind virus got fucking Little Caesars. Said I was fucking stealing out the cash register. So I guess I'm fucking, whatever, man. Elon's going to fucking fix all this shit, bro.
And you're like, you are really dumb.
I
know I'm also part of that. I know that's part of me.
Oh, I'll
because I would absolutely love to rip resin with that guy.
I weirdly get it. And I'm like, this is why I left. And I didn't go too far, but I left. And then after shows, I'll go back and do Governors. I'm like, I have a crush on 15 women in this. Any Guidette?
Like, I don't know why.
Shit.
I'm just an older, mean Guidette.
Trashy Italian.
You got heavy cans. If you're a trashy Italian with giant tits, you'll be up. By the way, I'm engaged to the love of my life. I want to spend the rest of my life with her.
Yeah,
I'm still attracted to other women,
of course.
And I would say heavy chested, mean Guidettes. I don't know why.
It's fantastic.
They're like, what the fuck are you looking at? And you're like, your giant tame tits. Why are you so mean? Why are you so mean, bitch?
Dude, you've never met a more entitled group of people who half the population lives down the block from the center of the universe and has never gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have people that live on Long Island that have never gone to Manhattan. That's and they crazy. Live an hour from it. It's like insane. I was at McGuire's once. It was actually, I do those clubs and they're fun. But the people, I'm like, I do well there because I'm like, I know what you are. Oh, I know I'm part of you.
The best one is I used to bring Veter to open for me at McGuire's on Islip.
Just to punish him? Because you know they're going to. No. Veter's amazing, but
because
it's Long Island.
He's also from Long Island.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And you motherfuckers, I used to, by the way, at McGuire's, it was Tim Dillon and Gary Veter were the two guys I would bring with me to open for me, because the only way to beat Long Island is to use Long Island. And so, like, I swear to God, I would bring like someone else from the city and they would just talk during their set. But Veter, his jokes are phenomenal.
For some reason, he gets them, right?
And yeah. They listen.
But what I'm trying to say is low energy. That's what I'm not saying.
Yeah.
He is a brilliant joke writer. He's but fantastic. He's low but he's so low energy.
Like this. Wait, hold on. What is he saying? And then they're like, that's funny. That's, dude, I remember bombing at McGuire's and ladies leaving. This is when I didn't have like any audience. I was doing like, you know what, dude, in Opie and Anthony.
Okay.
But like the audience would leave and it'd be like these Long Island ladies and they'd be like, do you know Michael Scatatora? He's my friend's son and he does Caroline sometimes. And you go, I don't know him. And she goes, look for him. I'm friends with his mother. And I'm like, none of you mean anything.
Dude, I was there at McGuire's once. I'm cooking. I can kill there. It really can do well there. Not everywhere, but there I can.
Yeah.
And I'm killing. This sums up Long Island. I'm murdering, and then I'm super confident for that fact. And this lady's just having a full conversation with her friend. And I go, hey, and I'm like, I have total carte blanche to do whatever I want. So I go, hey, I'm killing here. I'm killing. She goes, you're doing great. Keep going. And goes back to talking to her friend. That sums up the entitlement. Like
Long Island, they will have, and I'm just telling this for the other comedians that might be watching this YouTube, that this podcast or listening to it, and you've never been to the East Coast, they will have full on fucking conversations and not think it's rude.
No.
They don't think they're being rude.
No.
Sometimes drunk people talk to the table because they're trying to be disrespectful in different cities. Long Island, they'll just talk like you're a TV show and they're just in the living room with their friends.
You're there for them.
Yes.
You're their employee for the night. And but it's sometimes it's not, but the weird thing is it's almost like getting not beaten into a gang. What would you call it? It's like the minute that you kind of you smack them in the face,
they like
then
it.
they get put in their place.
Those fucking big titted Guidettes. They're like, what's wrong with you?
Oh,
what's fucking wrong
just
with you?
Just a Danielle or a Michelle.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Well,
you can't beat it.
Yeah, that's the role play me and Katie do. Because she went to Hofstra. She did. She really did. She went to Hofstra.
She wears her old Hofstra.
She wears her Hofstra sweatshirt. She goes,
it's a wig.
What are you doing, queer? And I go, oh fuck, oh fuck, I'm gonna come in my pants. She's like, what are you doing, you fucking loser? I'm like, is that what I am? Am I a
Say so talk it.
Oh my god, we're going out to Ronkonkomo, and I go, I'm gonna fucking come. What, you never been to Ronkonkomo on the weekend? You're like, I'm fucking losing it. I sucked a guy off on the LIRR. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm coming. Yeah. Well, I think we found our role play for the
Holy
next 5 years. So that fucking fuel tank wears out.
This will work. Let's do
I would tell you.
Let's do every county.
It really is like Guidettes from Long Island like that and hot brunettes from Texas.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you the two that for some reason, LA girls never have done it for me.
No.
Florida girls scare me. They're like fucking dangerous creatures. I never trust anybody from Florida. The Southern girls, I don't feel like I could fake it enough.
Midwestern ones I can get into.
That accent.
I got my heart broken by a girl from Ohio in college.
And she had a crazy accent? Usually they're kind of East Coast-y.
No, she was from Akron, I think.
Okay.
And she was in the right. I had a massive crush on her. I just kept asking her out. And finally, at the end of the semester, she goes, "Dan, I have a boyfriend." And it just fucking crushed me. And so then now that
bless
accent,
your heart, Dan.
Oh, Dan.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here, bitch. You had your shot. No, but that's why I don't know why. But Texas brunettes, because you're just like down in like Dallas or Austin, and you're like, what the fuck?
They're like hardy. Right? Aren't they like, they're like kind of like, you know, right?
They're thicker, but they're just like, they're tan with their brunette.
Yeah.
They just, and then Long Island Guidettes.
You can't, and some of that, you know, it spills over into Queens, but I remember there's a girl I went to Manhattan College and I was in orientation. And I fell in love with this girl. I was like full on Guidette. Like just hoops for days.
My God.
Just everything about it.
Tell
this
you
is 20 years ago.
Tell you the starting O line for the Jets.
She goes, honestly, I don't know. She knows. Brickishaw Ferguson's not doing what he should.
And you go, that's right. That's absolutely right.
How are you that accurate? Yeah,
how did you know that?
She knows all the stores that close at Roosevelt Field. You still go during the pandemic?
Oh, my God. I
don't believe in it.
You go, fuck, I love that.
It's
I love
the
that
greatest.
You don't trust the government.
She's like, except my dad, who's a cop.
Well, that's the most interesting part is like, you guys are so close to the city. When the first, not to go, I know we don't want to do politics, but like when the first Trump thing happened, the amount of, I went back to my hometown, which is 30 minutes from Manhattan, and I saw 15 Trump hats immediately. I was so shocked.
I mean, there was a great joke that Shane had back in the day when Trump won the first time, where he was like, you guys were pretty confident until you went outside the city. He's like, liberals were real cocky until they went out. But it was true. My grandmother lived north of San Francisco in Lake County, which is very red. It's a very Republican area. In 08, I remember being here. Nothing but Obama.
Right.
Like, to the point, if you lived in New York City, you understand the reason everyone was cocky about Hillary in 2016? Because in 08, when Obama won, you're like, oh, well, no one seems to be voting for John McCain. And then I visited my grandma, and I was like, oh, no one here is voting for Obama. Like, north of San Francisco, probably like 30 minutes north, like north of Santa Rosa, it was just like McCain Palin. That's all it was.
Yeah, and we
you
just
were just seeing that, and you don't even realize
we
that.
We have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it is a liberal hub.
You just think wine country. That's what I think outside San Francisco.
Well, they also think San Francisco is like, super. Oh my God, what's that? What's your glass of juice's pronoun? And you're like, oh, I don't really know. I mean, it is, what sucks is, what's funny about having family from San Francisco, because my grandma was a Republican, my dad was a Republican, I think, but
that's, you kind of nailed it. My dad, he wasn't, but he also, I don't know if he was Democrat either, because he didn't know.
He didn't know.
You didn't know.
I knew everyone hated Pelosi. I knew everyone in my family, and with, you know, good cause.
She had a long history. Yeah, a lot of money.
They didn't, they'd bring her up, they'd be like, fuck Pelosi. And you're like, yeah, you're pretty progressive, but fuck that lady.
I can get on board with somebody, because you can't be on that side that says that you're for the middle class, and then the middle class is like, no, you're not, and you're in on it. That's why people hated Hillary Clinton as well. It's like, I could see that. She was like an HR lady. Like, that she came off like...
Yeah, she came off, she goes, so we're going to have a pizza party. Like, fuck this bitch.
She's like, I have hot sauce in my pocketbook.
Oh my God, I take this everywhere.
And you're like, shut up.
So you kind of get, you get that.
We need like we would cheat it. We need like a 5 or 6 party system.
We do.
We need
like England. What does England have? 4 or 5?
Yeah, like Sweden's got that kind of shit where you need like, you need 6 motherfuckers running at once so that someone can go like, I like that guy's idea. And he goes, I just got good ideas. Yeah, like he just runs on like, I just got good ideas. Yeah. This is all I got.
And he wins with like 200,000 votes.
Yeah, you're like, oh. But I just feel like the two choices has sucked my whole life.
It's done. You can see what happened. It's fucking cooked. Done. Yeah.
And then everyone's like, what are we going to go? Kingdom? You're like, oh, shit. But Bird Bros,
Yes, so, Burbs Bros with Burbs Dan St. Germain. You're very good buddy, Dan St. Germain.
I love Dan
Maniac Germain. McGee himself.
Wet dog, dog. He comes in the room like a wet dog, always. He goes, he fucking gets comfortable. And he goes, so cute though. He's the man. I fucking love
him. Pat him in the back of the head.
He's one of my best friends.
He's fantastic.
You two are fucking phenomenal. You have a podcast, Burb Bros. Download it. Subscribe.
Yes, please. Subscribe to the YouTube. We're almost at 1,000. We need 1,000 subscribers. We started a couple months ago. Yeah, so please check out Burbs Bros. We've been talking about this stuff a lot. If you like the UFO stuff.
I love it, dude. I get locked up with Sean all the time with this.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the absolute best.
And,
but thank you so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it. I love you.
Easiest. I looked and I was like, oh, you have to go pick up your girlfriend's son. It's like fucking 3:10.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I looked over, I was like, oh fuck, we gotta get out of here. I could have talked aliens for at least 6 hours.
Oh, I could do the same thing.
Oh, well, I might have to come on Bird Bros.
Please do.
We'll have to fucking
pick
it back up.
We're waiting until we get more people. That's really that's really what we're doing.
You bring me so I can bring people.
I know. That's what I said, but Dan gets Dan gets nervous.
Dan and I are fucking writing partners. I get 17 texts from him a day. He's like, I don't know, man. I feel like stuff's just going bad. Well,
has he done this to you yet? And he goes, I don't know. If this new show doesn't get sold, I'll probably just go to nursing school.
Yes. I've been dealing by the way.
Don't do it, Dan. For the sake of all sick people, don't do it.
Welcome to the club. I've been dealing with the nursing school thing since the epidemic, since COVID.
No, I know. He told me.
He called me. He goes, hey, man, Stone Cold stops calling us back. I'm just going to become a mechanic.
That's what it was. It was first it was mechanic, and then it was nursing school. Like,
stop.
And it's like, that will never happen.
Just do what you do.
But I'm like, I'm the schmuck, like you said before, the people pleaser thing. I'm like, yeah, all right, cool, man. I'm
me
like,
too. Me too. I go, you want me to buy you some smocks? You need OR scrubs?
You want some Skechers?
Yeah. You got to get something that's good to stand on. You want to be on your feet?
You have Crocs yet?
I bought you some WWE Crocs. He goes, oh man, I like it. They didn't have Jey Uso. They only had Jimmy Uso. I was hoping I'd get Tribal Chief.
Yeah. Real deep cut with the Crocs.
Oh God, I want to go read about all this alien shit now.
Oh, let's talk about it again. Come, if you can come do it, come do it. Yeah, I would love that.